could tell the story of Jesus' birth fairly accurately if you were to ask them what percentage of people feel that they could say that. Does anybody have any idea about how many people could do that? It was interesting. I looked up the statistics, and actually I kind of come across it while I was studying. And this was from Lifeway Research. It was actually also posted on K-Love's, I think, website. But it says slightly more than 1 in 5 Americans say they could accurately tell the Christmas story found in the Bible from memory. About 31% say they could tell the story, but they would miss details. But they would get some of it wrong. About 25% could give a quick overview. And 17% say they couldn't tell any of it. They went on to say in this statistic, while fictional Christmas stories seem to multiply each year, the biblical account of Jesus Christ's birth is unchanged since it is recorded in the Bible. Yet, almost half of Americans do not think that they could share the Christmas story somewhat accurately from memory. Of all the Christmas programs churches offer in December, possibly the most important is simply reading the biblical account of the Christmas story itself. That was in the statistics. I found that interesting, and we will turn to Luke 2. We will read that story after a little bit. But this week, and actually part of last week, the last couple weeks, knowing that this was going to be my turn to preach and I was going to be preaching on this, my mind was drawn to this a lot more, I guess. But as I think of Christmas and the Christmas story and God's love, you know, sometimes we hear the story, we read the story, and yes, we know God loved us. He came, He was born, He died. But then it's almost like that was over 2,000 years ago. But this year, as I was thinking more on God's love, just the vastness of God's love, and we talked about that in Sunday school this morning, Emmanuel, God with us. And if we start thinking about God's love, I'm sitting here looking who I can pick on this morning. Jameson, if you knew that you would tell Kendall where all your money is stored at, and then he would steal it all, would you tell him where it's at? Probably not. Or Dale, if you were to build a house knowing that they weren't going to pay for it, would you still build that house? You know, and we could go through each one of us. If we knew that we were going to be taken advantage of, or that somebody was going to be dishonest to us, or we would confide in somebody and they were going to gossip about us, we likely wouldn't confide or do business with that person. Yet God, when He created man, He's all-knowing. When He created man, He knew that man was going to sin. He knew that man was going to choose to eat of that fruit, to go their own way. Romans 5, 7, and 8 says, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Also in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which He loved us with, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God knew when He created Adam and Eve. God knew when you were born. God knew when I was born, that we would sin, that we would turn our selfish ways. And yet, He chose to create you and I. God's love hasn't changed. His love is unchanging. He is still the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. If you look through Scripture from the beginning to the end, and I'm going to do that this morning, something different. I actually found this. I did this a little bit yesterday. It was kind of fun. As I was studying, I heard somebody say that if you take the Scripture, and how many of you have Bibles this morning, here this morning? If you would take your Bible and open it to a random, just drop it, let it just fall open to a random spot, and I'm going to ask a couple of you, that somebody said that if you look on every page of Scripture, you will find God's love on every page of Scripture. And I found that interesting. I was studying yesterday, and I dropped it open, and it's like, I scanned across, and it's like, interesting. You know, sometimes it was, you know, in the Old Testament, and maybe it was, you know, what they were going through, and yet in the story showed God's love. So I'm curious, this morning, does anybody want, if you dropped your Bible open and you scanned across that, what did you find? How did God's love show up? Or how you see God's love in what you open your Bible to this morning? This week, as I was putting one of ours to bed, we were talking about scabs, and I was saying about how that a scab is blood, is dried blood. And they were like, well, if you just brush it a little bit, like a burn, you know, they're like, it's not bleeding. And I was like, well, it oozes out, and it still creates a scab because a little bit of blood oozes out. Well, then I had to try to explain what oozing meant, and that became complicated. But, you know, as we look through Scripture, you know, I had to think of it, as we look in Scripture, all through Scripture, God's love oozes out all through Scripture. Does anybody want to share what you saw, and you know, as you open your Bible? Okay, go ahead, Eva. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? All right, Jake? Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, Chris.
Said, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Caleb? Or Trevor? Trevor? Okay. Thank you. All right. It was fun for me. And so if you're reading through the Scripture through the year, I thought about it. It's like take a notepad and, you know, each page write down how God's love was revealed in that page. You know, just interesting to me as I sat there and I did it yesterday and over again. It's like there's God's love in so many different ways. His love is from the front cover to the back cover of the Bible. His love is revealed through his word. So why did he come as a baby? And we had some of these questions why this morning. You know, he could have come, you know, we have what, 20 or almost 30 years of silence. We don't hear hardly anything about him. He was born. We found out he went to the temple. At 8 days old, he went to the temple, and then again, he went at when he was 12. And then we don't hear much about Jesus until he was 30. Why did he come as a baby? He could have come down, done his 3 years of ministry, and went back, you know, and died on the cross, you know. And some of these questions we don't all, you know, we don't have answers totally for, yet I think we do. Why did he spend almost 30 quiet years? God the Son was willing to lay down everything because of his love for you and I. He went from everything being under his control to be as born as a baby, totally dependent on someone else. He needed fed. He needed his diaper changed. He owned everything, and yet he depended on mom and dad to supply his needs. He allowed them to care and protect him while he was the protector. He knew all things, and yet he was taught and learned by others. And if you'll read in Luke, I don't know that we'll go quite that far this morning, but as he went to the temple and also on the 8 days, both times it says that at the end of it, it says that he grew in wisdom and stature, and he was subject to his parents. He was willing to live in a world of bumps, bruises, experience what every other child, every other person does. He was misunderstood. I'm sure he was misunderstood as a child. Most of us parents, while we try or do our best, we make mistakes. Sometimes the children might be innocent, and we think they're not. He was willing to take that. I'm sure they made faults, the same as we all do. He was willing to lay down his glory and his power and live in a fallen world because he loved you and I. You know, in Exodus, we read about when the children of Israel, when God came down the mountain, they wanted to see God. Moses wanted to see God. And when he came down, his glory was so great that when it came down, the mountains trembled. Also in Psalm, it talks about the earth melting at the sound of his voice. This was this Jesus, God the Son, that was born. And yet, he was willing to lay that down, that man could stand in his presence, but not just stand in his presence, have his presence. And he chose to do this clear back when he created the world. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me. So this morning, if you want to turn your Bibles to Luke 2, as we read that story this morning, with that type of love in the back of our mind, that's how much God loves us. As I reflected on that this week, to read the story just really put a new light on the story, the Christmas story again this year. Luke 2 says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree a census should be taken to the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, in heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And on the 8th day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name of the angel, the name the angel had given before he was conceived. I think we'll stop there. It goes on, the rest of it goes on to where he goes to the temple then as well. I forgot to write the reference down here. I wrote the verse down. As I read that, as you read that, oh, what love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. So there's three things that I want to look at, to remember, as we come into this Christmas season again, as we look back at the first Christmas when Jesus was born. And the first one, his birth was motivated by God's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God's love hasn't changed. God's love became flesh. His coming, his years of ministry, story after story, we read of Jesus, the compassion. He healed the hurting. He healed the sick. His death on the cross, his resurrection, all this was motivated by his great love for you and I. The second one, as we look back on this first Christmas, his birth demonstrated his love. John 3:16, that he gave his only Son. Now this morning, looking who else I can pick on. Dylan smiled there, so I'm going to pick on Dylan, Renee this morning. But Renee, if Dylan tells you he loves you, or Dylan shows that he loves you, which is better, which is more meaningful, I should say. Obviously, when he demonstrates it. And as we look at, you know, all through Scripture, we see God loves us. But on this Christmas, God demonstrated that love. He gave up his glory, he gave up everything, and came as a child to demonstrate to you and to I how much he really loves us. God trusted his Son into Mary and Joseph's hands to care for him, into many arms to hold him. And I had to think back, it's like I'm sure they were no different then as they were now. A new baby comes around and everybody wants a chance, or a lot of, most everybody wants a chance to hold this new little child. Did they know that they were holding the Son of God? He trusted him into a sinful world to demonstrate victory over sin. And then he trusted him into the hands of sinners to punish and to kill him, to demonstrate his love through forgiveness. And even to those that crucified him, we know the words well that Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That greatest demonstration of love started right here on this first Christmas when Jesus was born and came to earth. Philippians 2:5 says to have the same mind that was also in Christ Jesus. And then third, this Christmas celebrates our eternity. John 3:16 again, for whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. God is not slack to finish what he has started. Jesus came motivated by love, demonstrated his love to mankind, not only by coming, but while he was here, then sealed the act of love by death on the cross, giving forgiveness of sin and eternity with him to those who will believe. Again, 1 John 3:1. Oh, what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we can be called the sons of God. This morning, I set a gift up here. Who wants to open that this morning? Somebody want to come and open it this morning? Brooklyn, do you want to open the gift? I'm just picking on everybody this morning. I didn't wrap it, so if it's wrapped too hard, you can't blame me for that one. All right. Okay, thank you. So it says in there, and I've read this verse a couple times this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave us a gift. But if you don't open the gift doesn't do you any good. You know, I think I would say at least all the children here this morning are looking forward to Christmas. They have gifts. They're looking forward. What's it going to be? Which one of you is going to let that gift stay there? And you know what? I ain't going to touch it. I'm afraid what might be inside, so I'm not going to open it. What do you think, Braden? Are you going to open your gift? You know, God gave us a gift, but we have to open that gift, and we have to apply that gift. And this morning, I hope that most of you here have opened that gift, have applied his blood to your life. If not, I urge you do that today. For the rest, John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. God still wants, on this Christmas, to demonstrate his love, just like he did over 2,000 years ago. And he wants to do it through you and through me. There are many ways. It doesn't have to be just at Christmas. In the statistics, there was another percentage that was pretty astounding. 47% attend somewhere around Christmas season. But they said 56% said they would likely attend around Christmas season if someone they knew invited them during the season. And 48% said that Christmas Eve service is their largest event. I guess we're going to have to start having church on Christmas Eve. But not necessarily. But there are so many ways that we can share the goodness of God, the love of God. You know, this week I was stopped in at Walmart to pick something up quick, and I was waiting at the checkout, and there was this gentleman, older gentleman ahead of me, and he paid for his bill, and he pulled out a $100 bill and he paid for the bill, and then he was like, he got all done, and when they handed him the change back, he looked at somebody and he handed the change to him and said, "Have a Merry Christmas." That just kind of struck me. How many different ways that we can share the love of God by looking at others and caring for them. I'm not saying that you have to hand your $20 bill at Walmart this week, but I would challenge each of us to ask God to give us the opportunity to share his love somehow to someone this season. Not just at Christmas time, but all the time. And I just want to compliment you all this time. This week I had a chance to sit down with somebody that a lot of you that are sitting here impacted this year. Actually, I take that back. It might be just a little more than a year. I believe it was. It begins at the end of last year. But, you know, this person had, we went to their house after the storm, and there was a bunch of you that got to go along to that place. And they called me this week, and every so often, they're like, you know, does it suit you to come? I want to, you know, they want to meet with you again, and they just want to sit and chat. And they, again, just were so thankful. And they, again, reminded me this time. They said, you know, if it wouldn't have been for you all, they said they wouldn't have been able to fix their house because the cost of the beginning cost was too high that they wouldn't have been able to afford it. And they, again, just thanked us for coming and just being that answer to prayer as they prayed that God would somehow help them, and we showed up. And it was because of each one of you. They were very gracious. They were very kind. They actually wrote out a check to the church for $5,000 for coming and helping. But that, again, is just money. Your kindness, your willingness to go out when God says, here's where to go, and to reach out to those people will be something that's never forgotten. I think of the verse, freely you have received, freely give. So may we, this Christmas season, as we celebrate Christmas, as you sit and open your gifts, remember, no matter how big that gift that you open, the gift that God gave was greater than any gift that you ever receive. May we thank Him this season for that, and may we share that love. He showed His love, such great love to us, and may we share that. He wants to demonstrate that love to the people that you and I come in contact with, and may we do that this season as we come in contact with different people. All right, Walter, do you have a...
Let's see the first person to come up, coming Emmanuel.
Okay. All right, if you'll stand, and we'll come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning as we reflect again on Jesus coming, laying everything down and loving us with such great love, willing to lay aside all power, all glory, and come and to live just like you, like we do. Father, we thank you for that today. And again, this season, as we celebrate your birth, God, we would ask that you would help each of us, give each of us that opportunity to demonstrate your love to someone during this season. So God, I just pray that you would be with each one here today as we go from here. Pray that you would bless each one. And again, as we go through this Christmas season, that we could share your love. And we just say thank you. Thank you doesn't seem like enough, but we say thank you for your great love. In Jesus' name, amen.